God is good, ain't he? We're on verse 10. We're on verse 10. Last week we covered 8 and 9. For by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. Let's back up so we can see that. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, sounds like some name calling, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You can be seated. Before I start preaching, I want to tell you a couple things. One, next Wednesday, Brother Eddie will be ministering for us. And then Friday night will be Brother Jason O'Neill. Saturday night will be Brother Sam. And then Sunday you have to listen to me. I want to tell you this. I went on a job site one time, and y'all know I was a ceramic tile installer. And I went to the job, and the owner of the company sent me there, and he said, hey, I need you to do this job. And I went to it, and I looked around, and there was only half as much tile as I needed to do the job. So I called him and I said, hey, man, we don't have enough material here. What are we going to do? And he said, yeah, I ordered enough material to do that bathroom. And I said, that bathroom is singular. I said, you have bathrooms, plural. And he said, oh, no, there's more than one. I said, yeah, there's more than one. I said, there's two. And he said, can you do it for the same price? And I said, no, I can't. Why would I do twice the work for the same price? He said, what am I going to do? I said, I don't know, but I'm leaving. Leaving. I don't know, put G on there. And I said all that to say this. The guy looked at me and said, do you realize you're the only company that bid this job? You could have charged whatever you wanted, and y'all would have got it. You could have bid as high as you wanted to bid, and you would have got the job. You're the only people that bid it. And so I got a bid on the concrete today for the church. It's $50,000 less than what we expected. No, don't clap. Because I'm afraid they missed something. And the guy's going to get there and say, I ain't doing this job, see ya. So anyway, it can be awesome, it may be awesome, but $50,000 is a lot of money. So we're going to get more bids, and I'm going to talk to this guy about his bid to make, but man, if that's right, that's awesome. So you can clap anyway, just in case it's good. All right, so here we are. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What he's telling us is you can't work to get saved. You can't work for your salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You can't be good enough to make Jesus love you and save you. God loves everybody. Even it doesn't matter. God loves because God is love. And since God is love and he loves everybody, you can't do anything to make God love you anymore. Nothing. So to those people that say I'm God's favorite, you're probably not. You're just one of God's children. Amen. And so he says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Zach, I don't work to be saved, but works come as a result of being saved. I don't worship to make Jesus love me. I worship because Jesus loves me. So when we understand this, we don't have this mentality that we have to do something, but we get to do something. When they sing the songs about the cross, you don't have to raise your hand. And you wonder why people do that. I used to. I was like, what does that mean? But it's what God asks us to do, lift up holy hands. And if God likes it, then I want to do it because I like him because he first liked me. That's not a scripture, but it's close. I love him because he first loved me. So you do what you do as a result of what has been done for you. And so he says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Walk in good works. We should do work for the kingdom because God has been good to us. So I think it's safe for me to conclude that if you don't work for the kingdom, you don't understand salvation. Well, I got way more amens until I said that. I don't think, if you're not doing anything for God's kingdom, then you really don't understand what he did for you. Or you do and you're a jerk. I mean, you may understand it. You're like, I don't care. I know what he did for me, but I'm not doing anything in return. Who would be like that? But we were created. We were born again with a new nature. We were created unto good works. So let me say it like this. The more you love God, the more you'll do for him. The more you understand what he's done for you, the more it will motivate you to do something for him. It's part of our creation, right? Wherefore, remember. Now, this scripture has always kind of messed with me a little bit. He says, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past in the flesh, he says, remember who you were. Remember who you were. But if the same apostle would say, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. But here he's challenging us to remember him, to remember them, remember who we were. He says, I forget. This is the one thing that I do is forget. How many people have a good memory? Raise your hand if you got a good memory. How many people remember what I just asked? Raise your hand if you got a good memory. How many people are very, very forgetful and don't have a good memory? Raise your hand. Lord. Okay, I got an idea. Our church needs to sell Focus Factor and help y'all, help some of y'all out. Let me tell you something about a memory. A memory can be awesome. It can be a really good thing. But you know what else a memory can be? It can be horrible. It's really good when you're trying to remember something and you remember it. That's one of the most miserable feelings on the planet. When you know something or you know a thing or you know somebody's name and you try to think of it and you can't. Have you ever been there? You're like, oh, I know it. I know them. And that people say, I know it like the back of my hand. I don't know if I know my back of my hand that well. But they know it like the back. They know it. I mean, and you're trying to think of it. Man, what a relief it is when you finally remember. But you know what? A good memory can also be a curse because there's some things you would like to forget. And when you can't, it's miserable. So Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He said, this one thing I do, I forget. But here he says, remember. The Bible tells us that if a man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. So looking back seems like something we shouldn't do. I mean, we've heard preachers preach, tear off the rear view mirror, you don't look back, don't look back. But here, Paul is challenging us to look back. What is the difference? The difference is this. He's challenging us to remember who we were, what condition we were in. Now, when he says, don't look back, when he says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back, he's saying, don't look back with desire to go back. If somebody looks back at who they were compared to who they are in Christ and want to choose that over Christ, they don't understand Christ. There's no way. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I promise you, it doesn't get any better than Jesus. Y'all know my illustration. I use it all the time. I'm going to use it tonight because it goes with this sermon, and I think it's a great illustration. If Tracy came to me and said, hey, I'm leaving you. I found somebody better looking, has more hair, thinner than you. I found all this guy's great. He's nicer to me. He has more money than you. He's sweeter than you. Anybody else want to add anything? He takes out the trash quicker than you. I could believe that. I could believe all of that, right? I could believe if she said, I found somebody. Thomas, quit shaking your head. Yes, you should be sad for me. And she could, after 27 years of marriage, 28 somewhere. What is it? Yeah, 27. And she could find somebody cooler than me. God is jealous. The Bible says God is jealous. You know why God is jealous? Because you could never go to God and say, I'm leaving because I found something better than you. You're never going to find anything better than him. You're not going to find a leader. You're not going to find a teacher. You're not going to find a savior that can ever do you like Jesus can. There is no greater. There is no higher. He said, beside me, there is no other. So God has a right to be jealous, does he not? So he says, remember what you were. You were a group of people. See, you got to understand this about the Bible. In the way the Bible works is there are Hebrews, there are Jews, and then there's everybody else. Right? There's Jews, and then there's everybody else. And everybody else is called Gentiles. So you're either Jew or Gentile. Anybody in here Jewish? Nobody? Okay, so I'm preaching to a bunch of Gentiles. None of us have Jewish lineage that we know of. Unless you go on Ancestry.com and figure it out, you can come back and we'll change the sermon for you and help you out. Here's the problem. In the scripture, God chose this little small group to bring forth the Messiah through. He chose the Jewish people to bring Jesus through. The Gentiles are just everybody else. The Jews did not accept him when he came. And he turned to the Gentiles. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, that opened up a door, and it opened up a door to you and me. So we ought to be very thankful that God's grace didn't just stop with one nation, but he reached out to the rest of us, and he saved us by his grace. Yeah, you can clap on that because that's good. Because unless you were in that lineage, you were in trouble. So he says, you were called the uncircumcision by those which are called the circumcision. We know the token. We know what God told him to do. That was it. That was it. God laid it. He told Abraham what to do to be called a Jew, and the sign had to be circumcision. But here comes a bunch of Gentiles that don't know anything about covenant with God. And so those that were in covenant are calling those outside of covenant and letting them know that they are out of covenant. And I don't know if this messes with you or not, but I really am glad that I was born in America. As messed up as it is, I'm still pretty happy about it. Because I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to be born in some of these other countries. Some of y'all get mad, but if I was across the border, I'd be trying to get over here too. I know y'all fuss. I know y'all do. Because I know where you live. I know your backgrounds. People fuss. We fuss. Build that wall. Build that wall. Listen, I don't know when your grandma and grandpa, your great-grandma and grandpa got over here, but thank goodness there was no wall when they got here. You're saying, are you getting political? No, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I think everybody should be here legally. Okay, let's leave that alone. But I do know this. I'm glad I was born here. I'm glad I was born here. But imagine if you wanted to be born a Jew and you can't change the way you're born because the promise was to the Hebrews and we're not Hebrew. Imagine how hard it would be. Well, I got good news for you. I got really good news for you. First, let me give you the bad news. Outside of Abraham, there is no promise. The promise was to Abraham, and the blessing was going to come through his lineage. But here's the good news. We as Gentiles have been grafted into the vine. Check this out. I got adopted. I wasn't born of the seed of Abraham, but I got adopted into his family through the blood of Jesus. Now the same promise that applies to Abraham applies to me. Yeah. I mean, you ought to be so excited about that you walk around praising God all the time. Amen. He said, remember, anybody who knew John Newton was? Anybody who knew John Newton was? John Newton? Anybody? Anybody know who Fig Newton was? That was his uncle. John Newton wrote a song. Probably the most famous song ever written. Now do you know who he is? What did he write? Say it a little with more conviction. You wasn't sure. Amazing Grace. He wrote Amazing Grace. And before he found Jesus, he was a wretch. He was lost. He was an evil man before he found Jesus. But once he found Jesus, things changed. I want to read to you some his last words. His last words, let me find this real fast. He said, my memory is nearly gone. This is what he said when he's on his deathbed. He said, my memory is nearly gone. He suffered with losing. He suffered with dementia, they say, that at the end his memory was, or what's the other one? I can't say it. Somebody said Alzheimer's, and that's what I said. What is it? You're still putting a T in it. I don't think there's a T. What is it? You put a Z in it? They're the same? Okay, now we learned something. They're the same. He was suffering with that. Yeah, old timers. My memory is nearly gone. Listen to what he said. But I remember two things. There was two things that was on his mind. Two things when he's on his deathbed. This is what he remembered. He said, I remember two things. One, I am a great sinner. I remember that. He said, but two, I remember that Christ is a great Savior. I want to tell you what we need to remember. We need to remember where we were, and then we need to remember who got us to where we are. I remember this. I'm a great sinner, but I want to tell you tonight that Jesus is a great Savior. So he goes on to tell us, remember, that at that time ye were without Christ. Without Christ. Most of us can remember when we were without Christ. Amen? Do you remember what your life was like without Jesus? Is your life different now that you know Jesus? It changes. And if it doesn't change, then you haven't met the Jesus. Man, I'll never forget that. Jeremy, I went to this guy one time. He was Iranian. It was so cool. I was selling him some stuff, and I worked for a company, and I walked in, and I meet this guy, and he's Iranian. He was so neat. He was so neat. And he talked so cool. Broken English, kind of like me, so we got along good. And I had to ask him. I said, so, man, do you practice Islam? He said, oh, no. No, no, no. No, no, no. I said, you don't? He said, no. He said, I'm a Christian. I said, you are? He said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, that's awesome. He said, one day, he said, I met the Jesus. And he called him the Jesus, not Jesus. I met the Jesus, he said. And he said, once you meet the Jesus, you can't be Islamic anymore. Once you meet the Jesus, he changes you. Let me tell you this, once you meet the Jesus, everything about you changes. Once you meet the Jesus and the grace of God covers your life, you ain't never going to be the same. That's what he does. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Do we understand the problem here? Israel had the promise, we did not. Israel had the Messiah, we did not. Israel had the law, we did not. Israel had access to God, we did not. Israel had it all, and we were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. We were separated. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen to these words. Having no hope. Having no hope. Can I tell you this tonight? If we don't have Jesus, we have no hope. I don't care who tells you any different. There is no other hope besides Jesus. There's no other joy. There's no other life. There's no other deliverance. There's no other anointing. There's no other bread. There's no other comfort. There's no other forgiveness. There's no other love. There's no other but Jesus. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one door, one access. Oh, do you hear me? There's only one way. I don't care what Oprah says. There's only one way. He said, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you remember that? I remember it because I was God conscious, right? Remember? Anybody with me? Even when you were a sinner, you wasn't a good sinner because you knew there was a God. Raise your hand if you was like me. Okay, thanks. Because I went to the party, and I did what they did. My mom's not here, so I can tell y'all this. I went to the parties, and I did what you do at parties. And the whole time, I'm looking around saying, we're going to hell. Every one of us are going to hell. I drank what they gave me to drink. We're going to hell. Sam, I have laid in the bed under the influence of substances that I shouldn't have been under the influence of, and prayed and said, God, please don't let me die like this. Oh, so some of y'all are like me, wasn't you? I wasn't good at it. I think some people didn't have a clue. They're just out there going at it, no reserve, no nothing. And I'm like, God, please save us all. I was a mess. But I found Jesus. And when I found him, it all changed. I'm still dancing, but it ain't the same. I'm still singing. I'm still drinking, but the fountain has changed. I got a new life, a new walk, a new talk. Man, I got saved May 13th, 1994. That was on Friday the 13th, and so in your face, devil. And you know what's so awesome? I ain't never been the same since. Because when I was without God, Jason, I was in trouble. But now that I got him, I'm good. All right, last verse. Ready? Shane? But now. Those are the coolest words in Scripture. But now. But now. I would lay down at night and I would be scared to death that the world was going to end and I was going to be lost. But now. But now, you can ask my wife, I don't worry about anything when I go to sleep. Nothing. Because if I die before I wake, feed Jake. Because I'm gone. I'm telling you, then and now are totally different. But now what? In Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes, you were far off. Who's he talking about? Gentiles. He's talking about us. You were far off, but now you are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Man, that is so awesome. Because now we're one blood. You know what there's a lot of in this world? Discrimination. You know what else there's a lot in this world? Prejudice. Some people are just prejudiced. And it's not about what side of the tracks you're on. Sometimes it's just about the way you look. Okay, I'm going to confess. We were at work the other day, and this guy showed up. And he was an inspector, and I hope he's not listening to this. But he came on the job, and he just had this smirky little look on his face. He was like. He was just looking around, and we're working, and I looked at this guy beside me, and I said, I don't think I like him. He said, why? I said, I think he thinks he's cute. And that guy said, he is compared to you. And then he looked at me and said, now, Damon, we're not supposed to judge people by the way we look. I said, that's right. I said, that's right. He said, he said, because if I judged you by the way you looked, I would never think you was a preacher, but a psycho that could kill somebody. And he's told me that multiple times. Do I look crazy to you? Sometimes. But you know what we do? We look at people and then we make a judgment, a pre-judgment. Now listen, because I'm going to say something that might really ruffle your feathers. This is good stuff. When Jesus came, he didn't come to celebrate our differences. Oh, let me say that one more time. Hey, you know what? Some people are just proud of who they are. They're proud of their lineage. They're proud of their, I'm proud to be Irish. I'm proud to be this. I'm proud to be that. I'm proud to be an American. Everybody's just proud. Jesus didn't come so that we could celebrate our differences. What Jesus came to do is to make us one tribe, a brand new entity. Oh, am I preaching? He came to make us a brand new entity. It wasn't about an American Indian and hillbilly. It's about we're the church, and now that we're the church, we're one blood. And because we're one blood, we're all together. We are one family. Sometimes you are, now you are made nigh, you're made together, you're made close by the blood of Christ. I said that was the last verse. Come on, Aaron. Can I have one more? Yeah, I can have two? It's because I scare you. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down. Man, this is shouting ground. I said, this is shouting ground. Anybody remember what year it was they tore down the Berlin Wall? What was it? 80 what? 87? 80, do you remember, Brother Eddie? Somebody throw it at you? They gave it to you? Do you remember what a big deal that was? I remember. I don't remember exactly when it was. I was too young. But, man, that was a big deal to tear down that wall, because that was a wall of separation. Now, this wall that Jesus tore down was, it separated the Jew from the Gentile. They had access and we didn't. You look like Mr. Wilson looking over the fence. I mean, there's no way you could get over. You had no identity. That's really good. I just thought of that. I mean, but then Jesus tore down the middle wall of partition between us. So now, because that wall is tore down, man, when they sing that song, Reckless Love, and they sing that part, there ain't no mountain he won't climb up. No, what's the other part? No wall he won't kick down. This is the wall that I think of. I think this is the wall. There is no wall. Now think about this. That wall was there because he had called them to separate them. But because of his great love, he opened it up to you and I. And now we are able to be partakers of the promise. 89. It was 89, by the way, if y'all needed to know that. Fast fact. It's tore down. So now there's neither Jew nor Greek. We're good. Why? Because of Jesus. He tore it down. I'm going to heaven because he tore it down. I'm going to heaven because the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. So now what? What does that do? What should that do for us? It should give us peace. should give us comfort, should give us motivation, should give us reason. Amen? Let me make it real simple. Without Jesus, I'm in trouble. Well, it's kind of narrow-minded, ain't it? What about them? The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. God has dealt with every person on some level. Some people suppress it. I just confess it. You know what's going to be awesome? Every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ. Every knee. Osama bin Laden is going to bow his knee to Jesus and say, "You are Lord." Adolf Hitler is going to bow his knee to Jesus Christ and say, "You are Lord." Every knee. I don't know about you, but I don't have a problem bowing my knee. I'd rather bow it on this side than that side. Because he's Lord. He's Lord. He tore it down through his blood. So as we sing this song, I want to challenge you to stand to your feet and just thank him for just a minute. Because he made access into this for you because you couldn't do it yourself. Now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work for him. Share his gospel. Preach his word. I'm going to worship him. Because he's made us one.